Hi, thanks for tuning in. This is Alice Blau, episode number 9, with Polish dancer, performer, and collage maker Rafał Pierzynski. My name is Caroline Pala, and this is my podcast. I'm going to really try to pull myself together here to speak a little intro. By now, you must have noticed this is another episode in English, which is not my native tongue. And I feel really silly here, all by myself in the recording booth, speaking in another language. When I have someone in front of me to speak to, it's a completely different situation. And I hope that people from all over the world are tuning in. Okay? And I'm not saying this because I'm presumptuous or anything like that. Actually, most of the time, I feel that what I have to offer is really minor and insignificant. But this talk with Rafał showed me that even small things can make a difference. And when I think about how I started this podcast and where it is today, a year and a half later, I'm actually really content and also motivated to move further and continue. As long as there's artists out there whom I enjoy speaking to, there's really no reason for me to stop. So now, I don't want to give anything away here about Rafał, since many things about the circumstances of his stay here in Switzerland, as well as about the way he works, will be revealed later during the talk. Rafał is not only working as an artist individually, but he's also part of an artist collective called Divas, together with performer Aga Pencziwiater and sound artist Magda Drost. We met on a Friday afternoon in January, and Rafał was running late. He seemed to have gone through a lot of troubles to get here, and he was really out of breath, and the sole of his shoe was loose to the point of pretty much falling off. So when we were done talking, I taped his shoe with duct tape, and off he went to the next adventure. So here it is, Rafał Pierzynski and myself, Alles Blau Podcast, episode number 9. Let's go. So I'm really happy that you're here and you're the first person who brought things, props and rocks. Yep. And what else?
Some clothes and a wig and sunglasses, or actually they are not real sunglasses, they are 3D glasses from a cinema. Yeah.
And you took them off because do they bother you?
Yes, at the moment, I really feel their presence a lot, and kind of it was separating us a bit. And
okay.
So I felt, for now, I don't need that protection.
And what are the rocks?
The rocks, they are just a little collage that I made with some words on them. Just kind of resembling the minerals that you sometimes buy, that you hope they will look after you, you know, and they have some specific properties and some energy and place of origin, but they are real stones from Erlikon, the yard in front of my studio, and I put some words on them, and it's a kind of an installation. You can play with them. And what I like about this is just you can move them around and then the meaning changes. Depends where and in which distance you put the words in relation to each other.
There's being ashamed, accept, ego, balance, and gay.
Yep. So it's a kind of a constellation work with the stones, and they can work separately or you can place them in relations. But
I love it. It's so simple.
Yeah. I love stones, and I've been always kind of paying attention to the influence that objects I have around me have on me, and the impact that they bring to space, you know. So stones are very particular because, you know, they come from, they have stories, and they are minerals.
So yeah, crystals, you know, crystalline structures, yes, are super interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring you some collage so we can refer to something,
yeah,
that we have here.
Actually, I also have an object, this painting, that I bring down to the recording, mm-hmm, booth every time I record, because I figure it's good luck, and I, you know, the podcast is called Alles Blau.
Yeah.
And I bought it from a friend, Alexis Seile, who is a painter, and I thought, you know, this blue, this totally imperfect shape, and with this kind of mistake on it.
I think it's beautiful.
I thought it's really fitting for my project, and so I take it down here every time. Cool. And I don't really know what it does, but I think I wouldn't feel good if it wasn't here.
I understand completely. I like it because it's a circle, and circle is always a kind of it pretends to be a symbol of this perfection and unity, where this one is a bit imperfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it underlines something even more than, yeah, it's really cool.
You are a resident artist at Messarsalon Embassy North, Zurich North. That's an art project by Esther Epstein. And you have been here for about 2 months?
Yes.
And so it's coming to an end. I don't like to say that, but you're entering the final stages. You're very busy with work. I really appreciate that you took the time to come here. So you are preparing for a final show.
Yes, it's really my last weeks of my stay in the context of Hunzig Areal and Message Salon Embassy North. I'm preparing the zine, because of course it takes some time to be printed, and, you know, trying to frame the idea in which I would like to share it at the end, on 26th of January. So in a way, it is a show, as you said. It will be a show, but it's not meant to be only a performance. It's an event that me and Esther will host, and it's first of all the zine release, and yes, some performances may occur. Yes, we as divas, me and Agap and Dziwiatr, we will be probably doing some intervention in space and off space, as well as our fresh diva Magda Drost will provide us with some sound performance. I am in dialogue with Angie Nant about installing his feedback camera installation.
What is that?
It's a great installation that he made in his Werk Discourse we were part of with Divas, with Aga, in December. And it's a camera hanging from the ceiling, which projects the image immediately on the floor with reverse color into a negative. And you get all this like reverberation of images, because when you stand under it, it's like it multiplies you, and in the lifetime it's a kind of projecting you and taking an image of you at the same time.
So you will be using that in Oerlikon as well?
We are thinking about it, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there are some spaces we could use besides the studio. Everything is will be around the studio space that I occupied for this last weeks and transformed it during this process. But yeah, there are some ideas in the air, definitely. So we are working on it.
Now, I was thinking about you being a performer. Because I don't work physically. I mean, I do some sports, but it just for an outsider, it seems like this super, super physical work. But the way I encountered you is just, I don't perceive you as someone like that is like super, you seem very soft for someone mm-hmm. that has to, I mean, you have to work out. I assume you have to train, you have to practice yep. so much, but it reminds me sometimes in yoga, they say, you know, when you're like about to crack and they say, remain soft. And you're like, fuck. I don't know. How do you do that? Or how do you feel about it? Because that's just my outside perception.
Yes. I think besides the physical workout, and I don't really use a lot the word physical as well, because I spent invest a lot of time into researching the topics of physical and abstract and, you know, mental, and where do they kind of meet. And I think that's exactly why maybe you get this impression, because besides the physical, so to say, muscular and you know, strength in this body way, I practice and work out my mind a lot. And this is also what we do with Divas and with Aga. We just transform these energies and the tension you get in your body and the tiredness you can maybe channel into something. So, but of course, I made it into my profession, you know, and I studied movement research, and I finished my master's in movement research, and I've been reflecting and writing about this for at least three last years, and I just graduated this year, so it's still very fresh.
So this is this a discipline, movement research, or do you is
yeah.
is that actually this because is, I don't know
the,
it.
Oh, this is
do
the
you,
official.
Can you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, I mean it's a practice or academic context, or also practical context, and to dig deeper into the movement practices and understand the interconnections between movement and different aspects, and how does it exist in performance, but how does it exist in physics, and how does it exist in philosophy, and I don't know how this all kind of overlaps, but of course it's very individual, and then at the end of the day you choose your focus and what area of movement or what aspect and what relation you want to look at.
So what did you look at in your thesis work?
I'm looking at the touch and touching, which is funny because this is also the title of my zine, Touching. And, well, maybe it's not funny, it's just like this. I'm really interested in this.
It's coherent.
You know, yeah, it's still continuous. So I've been, my thesis is called Embodied Communication, Attending to the Modes of Touch. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at touch and touching as a starting point for all kind of communication and movement and interactions. And it was a long process because I was trying to understand how do we learn, how do we interact with each other, how do we understand, how do we communicate with each other, and all the senses and all the processes in our body derive from the sense of touch and from the skin, and everything kind of is connected. And you know, for me, I always had this impression that touching is not so different from seeing or from hearing, and just in general interacting with each other. And yeah.
Do you come from a touchy family? Like my family, they didn't touch very much
no,
at all.
I wouldn't say we are a touchy family. I think we are sensitive to shifts in space, which is touchy enough for me, you know, because for me, it was so difficult as a dancer in the beginning to be touched constantly and to work with the touch in this in this everyday mode,
mm-hmm.
because I'm really super sensitive to mm-hmm. that, and before the actual touching there's just all spectrum of touching
mm-hmm.
until it comes to the skin touch. And this is what I was also studying: how do we touch with our attention, and how do we get in touch through the space in the composition, in the compositional meaning, in the composition, no? Like when we are in the space and dancing and improvising and, you know, communicating and staying in touch, and all these notions of staying in touch, getting in touch, touching.
Mm-hmm.
They suggest already the multiplicity of this.
Yeah. This also touches,
mm-hmm.
no pun intended, on the subject of healing. And
exactly.
You're also practicing healing technique, such as cranial sacral therapy. And do you practice that in relationship to your performing work?
Absolutely. It has been informing my theoretical research and practical research and performance practices and what we do with divas a lot. I'm just starting, and I'm not a therapist, and I'm not a practitioner in a traditional sense. And what I've been learning is craniosacral biodynamics. It's an kind of approach, a particular approach to craniosacral therapy developed by Rosemary Walls.
Mm-hmm.
And
where is she from?
She's from UK, but mm-hmm. we met in Thailand, and I studied there. But it also didn't start for me from that point. I went there to do this, so I was obviously aware of that. Also because in dance studies, there's a lot of touching, and the qualities of touch in craniosacral therapy and in somatic techniques and in, you know, massage and all the experience that you get as a dancer when you touch your body and touch bodies of others, it's very informing. And
But I mean, I assume that that's not the case for all dancers. I would think that that's a particularity of your approach.
Yeah.
And you found accomplices, such as Aga.
Yeah.
But how do you perceive, if you work with other performers, do you think that you naturally tend to find other people with similar interests? Or can that also be a conflict? You have to work with people, or you're put together in a piece with people that have no sensibility to that subject matter, for instance.
Yes. It happens very often that there's not enough space in the process of creation when I work for other people to bring this input and make it so present, of course, because everybody has its kind of different points of view and priorities and experiences. And as a dancer, you sometimes just need to dance. And for me, it's very complex, but also, it's not about talking. It's really about doing it. So I can simply just do it and see it and perceive it and use it in my process for myself. And if someone is not ready or not open to use it, it doesn't disturb me, or it doesn't take it away. It doesn't disappear.
And they will not notice that you're doing it.
Yeah, maybe not. Or maybe on some level, yes. Maybe we are not able to talk about it in the moment, and maybe it's not a present topic in the conversation, but we don't need to bring it to that level. In dance, we communicate on the level of space and interactions physically that doesn't need to be articulated in language, you know. So they are there, but I understand that. I mean, I'm really focused on that, and it's really not like this in every dancer life.
But the interest in healing, the origin, is it a pain or is it something else?
I think it's before pain. It's how do you slow down, how do you feel the body, and how do you access and communicate with your body before the pain. But of course I had several injuries, and some of them, they were essential in my approach, because I needed to find my way around it, and for sure it helped me to focus and stopped me from going the regular dancer's way. When you have really little time to think about what is really interesting for you and what is your experience when you dance, without assuming that dance means this or that in general, because it's of course not like that. So I've always have been interested in healing and transforming energies and looking at the blockages, some kind of stuck places and places that bother me, and just look at them and not look away from them, and I think simply and touch them mm-hmm. in many ways mm-hmm. and allow others to touch them. It is not easy for me. That's why I think it becomes my focus, because I really need actively to let go and allow this process to happen.
I understand.
Yeah.
It's like a hurdle that you have to overcome, or you're trying to overcome.
Well, I think it's really usually like this, not that our kind of weaknesses we transform into our strengths, or it has been really hard for me to be touched and touch and all the people I met, and it's really, I don't know, it's not really about me. I felt like I was learning this since always from my, I don't know, probably my family. And
yeah. Well, I think also once you start a process, your antennas are out, and then you...
Exactly, because also it's the same with touching, no? It's really impossible. It's always both side process. So when you touch, you always are touched. Mm-hmm. And you cannot simply separate these two things. When you are touching, you are also being touched. And this you can just change a perspective on this.
Absolutely.
Things, you know? So it's really easier to understand on the level of practice than language. No?
In the piece that you were showing at Tanzhaus Zürich in November or in October,
yes.
You were using, on the sound level, you were using parts of a lecture by Hortense Spillers on the notion of black culture. And this, to me, it's the main focus is really on healing society.
Yes.
And, is there a relationship between your different endeavors and interests in the healing of the body and maybe on a larger scale, the healing of society?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a relationship between everything I do, even though maybe sometimes it doesn't look very connected because it belongs to performance or to more visual art, or you know, different ways, academic or more practice. But in this, I got stuck.
How did you get to the Hortense Spillers lecture? I mean, I got it from you and Aga.
Yeah, exactly.
But
like
how
that.
Did you come across it?
Exactly because of that, because we are feeling strongly about this relation between healing and touching on a personal level, and then abstracting it to the relations in the society and in our planet and environmental struggles and interracial struggle. So I really feel it always starts kind of small, and that's why we insist on slowing down in this cellular level and between our own self and then with others that are closest to us, and it just grows and grows and grows and grows. And through these small things, we can touch probably the whole, the struggle or the process of the whole planet. And this is what Hortense is also addressing there, that the black culture is the critical culture, but the culture also that continues the work of healing and sustainability and, you know...
Yeah, she's really talking about healing the planet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think when I talk to you and Aga, it feels very real what you're doing. It doesn't feel... Because many things that we've been talking about since you came in here and even before when we met before are things that also are, they're kind of in the air, you know, it's you didn't invent that. It's kind of in, there's something in the air, definitely.
Absolutely.
But there's also a lot of bullshit out there. So, but with you, it feels so real, and it's very, I think it's very contaminating. It's contagious, not contaminating, it's very contagious. When I interact with you or with Aga, it feels like there's like a spreading of the love. And I mean, I'm not an esoteric person, but I do also have my antennas, obviously. And I'm very grateful that you're actually doing that work, because I feel it's so necessary. And I also feel that there is room for many different people who approach it maybe something similar in their own way.
Yeah.
And then at some level, these different efforts can connect and become stronger and like a wave, you know, flood our planet at some point.
Comes,
I mean, that would be
directions.
The ideal. Or,
but this is also, I feel, how do we approach it and why maybe it feels real, as you say, because we don't feel special about it, and we, of course it is special, but it's, as you said, we are not the only ones to practice care, and you know, so it feels kind of supported by its own idea already, you know. It's
and do you feel that or did you experience that when you in different fields that have nothing to do with the arts, do you also gravitate towards people who put in the care or...
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's really essential in which energy you bring to the space or to other people. I don't know, if you go to... I was at the pharmacy the other day, and I had a problem, and I just, you know, I needed an advice and help. And there were three or even four different
employees,
you know, assistants. Mm-hmm. And there was just one that I could really get a kind of in touch and really communicate, you know.
And that it didn't have anything to do with their level of experience?
Absolutely not. It's just the ability to listen and to just actually be simply and, you know, respond to what happens, you know, if without kind of additional layers of, you know, you as a person, you as your stress, or you as, I don't know, your profession. No, I mean, she had an information that I needed and I asked for, and it was great. You know, and it was just an everyday thing. So, and I think it's just so present everywhere. And maybe if you, even if you don't name it, or you don't look at it this way, but I think it's just impossible otherwise. I mean, you will just not connect, and you will not have a communication with someone if, you know, this circumstances will not occur, no? Mm-hmm. Or it will be not constructive in a way. Or maybe it's not true. Maybe you really...
Well, I think the residency Message Salon Embassy North is also a very special type of residency where it's very much linked to the person of Esther Epstein. That's unusual yes. for artist residencies that are usually institutional. And of course, there's people working for them, but these people work for institutions. And Esther's project is like inseparable from her.
Yeah, I'm happy that you mentioned it in now in this context, because I think that's why we are such a perfect match with Esther and with her art project, which is the residency. And the way she offers the space, because of course residency is offering the space, but you can offer the space in so many different ways. And the way she does it, I think, is just amazing. And all the possibilities that she can offer. And
yeah, before we were talking about putting in the care, and I feel exactly. that she puts in a lot of care.
Exactly.
And also, it's not a rigid structure that she provides, but something that is very fluid and can be adapted to the individual that is a current resident.
Yes. And it's also at the same time very firm. You know, it's something quite it's very real. The frame she proposes is not new. It's really something that she practices for many years. It's an existing firm structure for young artists or artists that want to grow. So I find it really something very, as you said, open and fluid and possible to interpret in so many different ways in so many different artists coming from many different disciplines. But at the same time, a message salon has its traditions and rituals and context, it exists, and Esther is taking really good care about it and taking care of an artist and her art project. It makes it so special.
Yeah,
to be
it's just a big venture just to provide the infrastructure.
Exactly.
Getting the visas and.
Absolutely.
Depending on the country of origin, yeah. She has to help with the visa, etc.
Exactly.
Et
yeah, there's a big gap between many countries and Switzerland. So, you know, it's not only as easy as, you know, inviting someone to come here, but it's really making it possible. How do you make it possible for people to bridge that gap? And I think it is a mutual profit or kind of an interesting exchange, because this gap is also, breaking this or bridging this gap brings the input from outside and it's kind of brings movement from and different perspectives and different points of view, different practices from people from abroad. But she takes care of everything very well, and that well that you can really just kind of be in this frame and expand into it, and without a struggle that as an artist you often have to confront on a daily basis, not mentioning existing as an artist in Switzerland, you know, like it's a totally different dimension of material life here, and to be provided with this amazing opportunity is just exceptional, and I'm very grateful for that.
This is not your first time in Switzerland, you told me.
No.
But it's the first time that you've been here that long.
Yes,
and
exactly.
How do you have any anecdotes, or is there certain instances that were really strange for you, or what kind of catches your eye or your attention, what catches your attention living here?
Mm. Well, first of all, it's the longest period I stay anywhere in this year. So it feels really like home, or last year.
Last year, yeah.
You know, we are just on first days of 2018. And I think it's worth mentioning that I'm not living kind of anywhere, but I'm living in this special area where this Genossenschaft and the community is growing, you know. So I think I have different experiences from different places. I've been performing here in different cities when I was working with Virgilio Sieni, and also visiting Aga before we started to work as divas, or during this was happening. Well, there's a lot of anecdotes, and this, I remember this exhibition we met at very well, and I'm always laughing about it, because there was a guy with long hair standing in the bar, and there was a candle just behind him, and his long hair started to burn, and this smell of burning hair filling out this space. Well, I have to say, my life is very intense, and during one day there's just so many stories happening. I mean, coming here, there's already so many anecdotes I could tell, and so many weird and funny stories that happens to me. It's just crazy. I really think I could, like, it's a great material for a TV series, a kind of movie, a kind of a bad movie, but maybe it would be fun.
You know, I write screenplays.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe we should do a separate talk about that.
The script of what happens here. Yeah, but it was very particular to live in Dialogue Weg, and, you know, observe how people in modern ways practice this communal life and the idea of living and dying together, you know, because this is what we do. And
maybe for the listeners who are not aware, it's the Genossenschaft Mehr als Wohnen.
Exactly.
That is situated on Dialogweg.
Yeah.
Not only Dialogweg, it's the whole Hunziker Areal in and Zürich, Oerlikon.
My place I stay and the studio is in Dialogweg.
Exactly.
And I think this is so particular also about Zurich North Messersalon, because it's a place you live and create, and you have the studio there. So it not only bridges my experience as a foreign artist with local context, but it also bridges this kind of weird gap that Zurich and Oerlikon has, maybe, and, you know, this new neighborhood which Oerlikon is, and new context maybe for it, and the development of it, and how does it grow, and how does it exchange something with the city with it, you know, kind of the approach to property, to living, to housing, and, you know, versus the life in the kind of center of Zurich. And it's very different. There's a lot of space there in the flats and around, and you know, all the activities in the community and the models for life they are trying out and looking for. I could be part of it for these 3 months, and I could kind of live it and
Yeah, because I work so close, I've been there also several times, and I've also visited your studio and the residency in several times. And I think what's really great is that I'm sure they're trying out things that don't really work, but
Absolutely.
That's fine. Yeah. I think that's really great about it, that there is a possibility to try out new things, and there's this learning process, and some things will work, others won't, and that's fine.
And but there's just this feeling that there is time for all these failures, because they are there and they are not going to move away from there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of they committed to it.
And they probably have it for 100 years. The land, I don't know their contract, but it's probably
but
for 100 years.
You can feel it in the space. Mm-hmm. It's not a temporary thing. You can, of course, move in and move out if you don't like it. I mean, you have to just really try. Mm-hmm. But the idea is a commitment, and it's a process, and it's not a fast thing. It's not a quickie way of life. Yeah. You have to you know, contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no, there is just, it's a big investment, I think, to be there because of time and resources. It's not cheap and it's kind of, you know, involving. So one has to really be ready for it.
I hear you. I mean, I think it's, yeah, it's almost a little bit like a way of life.
Yeah.
So the zine release, let's see. Okay, the zine release is on the 26th.
Yeah.
Today is the 12th, and you are going to Italy. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, just very shortly. It's a audition process to Alessandro Scheroni, new piece, Augusto.
Can you say his name a little slower?
Alessandro Scheroni, an Italian choreographer, working with Elena Genotti, another choreographer that I've been working all past year. And of course, it's a kind of transition into the future also for me, because after this residency finish, I need
work,
something to do. Yes. Mm-hmm. And because I don't have my apartment anywhere and I'm not based anywhere, I have to figure out early enough what do I do. And this is one of the many opportunities I'm I'm calling for, you know. And it's a try, it's an audition, and it's a workshop. It's a great person, Alessandro, I mean, who cares also. And it's a process full of care, because usually I'm not really an audition type of dancer. Like, I'm not doing auditions so much. I'm really basing my professional life on person-to-person meetings and, you know, learning processes and my individual way of being. Yeah. But I'm also at the same time thinking to about how it would be to be based in Zurich, actually. And, yeah, I'm really, like, considering so many different things at the moment.
Is it, maybe it's, like, too trivial to say that, but are you more motivated to kind of find a home within when you're just constantly traveling from city to city, from place to place? Or is that, you know, is that just me kind of trying to find a solution to something that seems, it just, to me, it seems very unsettling. I have never lived that way.
Yeah.
But I know that a lot of people in the field of performance work, dancing, that's a common lifestyle.
Well, for sure you learn another way of being at home and getting yourself comfortable in new spaces with new people. But, well, it's really a process. I don't see also... I wouldn't dare to sum it up in a way that it kind of, you know, it's, you start to just feel at home in within yourself, because it's really, really a challenge, but it is just a kind of different kind of challenge to this one when you stay at one place. It is, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the work you do might actually help you, because, I mean, you know, there's this spiritual notion of being independent of people, places, and things.
Yeah.
And so not having a city or a place call your home is, it kind of goes in that direction almost.
I think it's really just about appreciating what you have, because I am free from many things and independent of many things. As many as I am dependent on, it's really, I think, about embracing that you are always going to be part of, you know, some kind of dynamics and related and dependent on other people. And because if you start to also control everything and try to get hold on stuff, I mean, this makes me really crazy.
And you can't. You can't.
Absolutely. And that's why I think it's so important to just be flexible and feel at home when you travel, and feel on to travel when you're at home, you know, because we can travel very far. not moving, you know, anywhere. And I think we all do this. And I think just the physical traveling has a lot of practicalities that become difficult the longer you do it, because I really avoid taking planes now, and I don't like to, you know, I really have, I don't know, back pain from carrying all my luggage in always with me, and it's kind of also a responsibility that you have always on your shoulders instead of on your floor when you have a home or a room where you can just leave it for a moment and when you are on your own only, you carry it with you around, and it's there are days it's just heavier, or periods when it's just more difficult. Yeah.
So you were saying that you don't really participate in audition processes, that you prefer, or I guess it's also it's less straining to get work through personal connections, maybe people you've worked with in the past, and et cetera, et cetera. But do you follow the work of certain performers, or do you follow maybe certain institutions that you find particularly interesting, or is there places where you would like to work one day, or do you...
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Do you have very concrete ambitions in that way?
Well, first of all, I think I'm not putting myself out to this into an audition context, not because I'm so cool and above it, but I really work and push myself to find my way around it, which is not easy, because of course, I mean, auditioning is not easy, but not auditioning doesn't make it easier too, you know. So what is the way to continue? And then you have to really invest, and you have to put a lot at risk sometimes, because you know, you never know what will come after this meeting. You cannot meet a person and have in mind that probably you will just work. Next year you will work together, no? I'm meeting you now, and who knows, maybe we will make the script and make a movie next year, but it's nothing that I know now, and I cannot, hold on it in our meeting right now. So you have to really let go and really just forget about many things and not be afraid. Really actively resist being afraid that there's nothing and that you don't have a plan. Because, I mean, even if you don't have a plan, the earth keeps on turning and something is going to happen, you know. So coming back to particular people or plans that I would like to do, is I'm really inspired by the process I had last year with Elena Giannotti, with the Italian choreographer I worked with on Floating House, her recent piece. She's based in Livorno, and the company that she works with, Company Blue, is based in Florence in Italy. And yeah, this is a person I really look up to, and from all kind of angles, as a mover, as a person, as a friend or a choreographer, as an artist. And other than that, I am really inspired by many different things and disciplines, and I try to navigate smoothly between them. And I think the touching and this looking at perception and movement and, through the lens of art and through the lens of practice and through the lens of communication, and it always really just focuses stuff for me, and I'm not really attached to the dance context.
Yeah, I mean, you incorporate visual arts in all the work I've seen from you so far.
It's kind of performative and visual always. So I'm sure I would like to continue this research, and I'm sure I would like to create performances as well as some research and academic discourse will provide to a kind of a discourse.
So do you consider going back to school also?
Yes, I'm sure I will. I am just needing a kind of a break, you know, rethinking what would be the most kind of
nurturing.
Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. It's a great word. You know, combining the needs and the reality, the professional context, and my personal interest. So I'm.
Yeah, spread the word. I would just talk about it to people that work in the field, and maybe you get recommendations. Maybe someone who listens to the podcast will write you an email. Rafa, I know the perfect school for you.
Yes, you can find me in the internet and.
What's your website?
It's www.pierzynski.com.
Yeah. I love it.
It's my surname Pierzynski, but written in this French funny way, because Pierzynski is my father's surname, and it's not the one I identify always. I use both versions, but.
Did you grow up with both of your parents?
No, I grew up
with your mom.
Yeah.
And your grandparents or your mom?
No, my mom.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a period that I was a lot at my grandparents when my mother was working on shifts, but they are present in my life. I mean, the second wife of my grandfather, because my grandmother and the mother of my mother died when my mother was around 17, so I never got to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
But
and your grandfather remarried.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to shortly come back maybe to this idea of where I want to be. Because I think it's an important year for me. I feel like this 2018 could be a year that I kind of concentrate a bit more and try to control my scattering around a little bit. But I just really want to send out this wish and good energy for things to come, and you know, things that possibilities that will enable me to continue doing the art project that I kind of started with Aga and on my own. And I would love to just be able to sustain myself from that work, which is very ambitious in itself.
I have a recommendation for you.
Yeah.
Write down your intentions for 2018.
Cool. I will.
And it's really amazing how many things, you know, just in a year, you just look at the document and it's really amazing.
Yeah, it's real.
It's also helpful to write down sometimes what you've done in the year that's just passed, what you have achieved,
exactly,
what did you do well?
Yeah.
Where could you do better?
I think it's one of the also main principles or main guidelines that we embracing Divas is really starting from this place of gratitude. And, you know, this gives you such a different quality of wanting and wishing. If you really want something from this kind of stressy and contracted place, it's such a different wanting when you take...
No, I really got that when you were talking about not having an apartment. It's really all about, you know, feeling grateful for what you do have. You might not have an apartment right now, but that's not forever, and there's many things that you do have.
Absolutely. I was thinking maybe it would be worth mentioning what is in the studio right now, or what is going to happen. It's new for me that I got this opportunity to develop this collage work from Vintage Gay Porn magazines that I collected over
that you found
years.
On the flea market.
Yes, I found them once, but then I was regularly going and looking for them and searching. I got some good ones. So there will be the zine and the collage work in the space on different objects, as well as some performance and some drinks. And, you know, we will try to find together a way to say goodbye and continue from there. Yeah. I think that's it.
Have you seen the collages, I mean, of his own work that Mapplethorpe did?
Yeah.
I mean, they're very formally so really mm-hmm. super perfect, but they're also, to me, it was the first, when I saw that work, it was the first time I saw just, you know, dicks and just body parts kind of really isolated. Yeah. And it really does something. It's really weird to, for me, it was like a learning
experience.
How do I even look at it.
I think that's exactly what it's very interesting, and I'm happy that you bring in Mapplethorpe, because he has not been my inspiration, because I actually didn't know him for I got to know his work actually when I'm here. Since I'm here.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I mean it's very instinctive the way I work with cutouts and cutting the materials and pictures. But of course, having this 11 weeks here allowed me to make a little research on what already happened in that field and see in which way others are dealing with collage, not only with material coming from porn, but, you know, what does it mean to make a collage in 21st century when we have all the digital media? And I think it's really also part of the slowdown practice, and the zine, as we said before, is called touching also because of this, because I have been really touching these things mentally and, you know, physically. And yeah, I've been looking at works of other people, including Mapplethorpe, and trying to understand his way of being ambitious and his way of presenting the male body and his relationships to other people.
I just thought that the collage work is very, in his work, is very particular, because there's many nudes, of course, but it's really, I think there's like an elevation happening, or some,
absolutely.
There's, I mean, something very, weird happening in distinction to just nude photography.
Yeah, I think they are great, and I looked at them as a viewer. I didn't want to analyze them like from the technical point of view that much, because I don't want to. Yeah, I'm really in the fragile state where a lot of things just influences me.
What other work have you been looking at?
Well, I've been trying to, as much as possible, check the photographers that took pictures that I use, because as much as I would like to use my own pictures, I'm not at this point yet, and I'm using the pictures from the gay magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because I'm not taking my own pictures, of course, but also because they come from 70s and 80s, and they have a very different, you know, they are just really kind of an archive, these magazines, and they are full of beautiful texts as well. So I'm looking at the photographers that take pictures there, and the artists that draw drawings of the bodies and men for these magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And they feature different artists, actors and singers, and, you know, they cover some art and cultural stuff in relation to the homosexual context, and, you know, they are very rich of content. And
do any of these magazines still exist, or are they all closed down?
I think I am not sure.
What are some of the titles?
Mandate and Honcho and three of them mainly, but I'm trying to be very selective and not go beyond those, because they have a very particular way of a layout. But also, just from curiosity, I have also some coming from different, because they are American or English or German or most of this are, I think, yeah.
Well, many interesting writers, they published in porn, I mean, I don't know, do you call it porn nude magazines?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely a porn magazine. Yeah, it's not an
Because they were more open than other I know that Tom Wolfe and Hunter Thompson, many of their texts appeared first in Playboy or Hustler magazine.
Yeah, I mean, I really look at them as a archive, and I'm trying to look in between those lines and bodies, and to find some kind of, not to find because there is already a lot, but just to reframe some kind of poetry and my idea of beauty and my idea or what I resonate with on a personal level, and questions that we still face or they have been facing without internet and without, you know, like a big platforms that we have now. So it's a documentation of visual and personal materials of people, and represent some kind of desires of that times, and at the same time it also shows what kind of remains, what changed, and how this continued, no? Even though I'm not really comparing them with the present material from porn, this is absolutely not interesting for me at the moment, so other than that, I use animals and the content from books with animal pictures, so you can see some cats.
Now we're over the porn. Like da, 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 da. Let's get to the cat video.
The baby goats.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly why it's so interesting, I think, for me to really bring it to the table. And I don't know, many people, it's the kind of conversation in the air when you start to look at this object. I didn't bring anything today, but, if you come for the zine release, you will get to see some. It's kind of funny, no? I make collages on everyday objects, like notebooks and calendars, and so you actually have this kind of question in the space, you know, very often. I remember in my craniosacral therapy classes, I had this notebook with one of my collage works, and or you know, you just bring it out and
it was on the cover.
You know, you either decide to talk about it or people ask or not, but it's definitely
there's a dick. Do 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 do.
Yeah. What's the day today? But the animals, the animals is something new and comes in from the period here where after the performance for Porny Days we did with Agave Divas in cooperation with Raum Station. Mm-hmm. During the Porny Days, there was a walk from Riff Raff Cinema where Donna Haraway's movie was screening. I think it's not called Staying with the Trouble, it's her book, but I forgot the title of the movie now.
I don't know.
Okay, sorry. But there was this great screening, and on the way to Raumstation, there was a walk through the city, and there were some stations, and one of the stations, it was me and Aga.
Yeah, you were in the underpass, right?
Underpass.
Underneath the railroad tracks.
Yeah, exactly. And we did this performance inspired of Donna's
film?
You know, film and the book and the kind of practice and philosophy. So this, and also because it's a nice way for me to refer to trans idea of a trans body and transitioning a body as body as a verb, but being as a verb, you know, human being as a verb, but being and becoming and transforming. So animals came in kind of after we did some masks and collage and prepared wrote poems for this performance at Porny Days. And I bought some books and brocchi, as you can probably remember, because this is the day I met you for like real, and not for the first time, but I felt like we really met. Then I just brought a lot of books, big books with animals from Brocky and Erlikon, and
so you put them to use. You cut it all up and...
Yes, all the cats and sea animals, starfish and different, yeah, and different combinations of bodies and animals and texts and animals. And anyway, I mean, this Broquito was really like a great supply of weird objects for me to do the collage on and all kind of little things. And before Christmas, I got also... some Christmas balls there, and I did the collage on the Christmas balls, which you could also see, and you can see when you come to the studio. So it's an, you know, Christmas ball has its context and its history and its you know, purpose in a way. And when you put a collage coming from entirely from the porno magazine on it, it creates maybe a question or a shift into this context, and this is what I try to do.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that the transition you made from the Haraway, the film, and you know, that evening at Porny Days, and then with that transition to the animal books. Yeah. I don't think it might. I think it might not be very clear.
Yeah. So
is it important? Because if it's important,
yeah, it's
we
important.
Might want to get back to it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's important in staying with the trouble and the approach of this being and living and dying together that Dana is kind of sharing and speaking about. Yeah, there's this imagination and kind of science fiction part of her approach, where people in the future kind of merge with animals and especially the endangered species and species. Mm-hmm. And she brings this hybrid of a person and animal, and yeah, I mean, that's where the animal images come from, and this kind of, yeah, I don't know if this is more clear now. It kind of comes from her approach to how animals and people can be together, and how actually to the point that they...
That the shapes also merge.
Yeah, physically
the
they kind of adapt each other's features. And and how these kinships can evolve to the extent that we embody, body parts or abilities that animals have, and how can this influence our ways we look at the world and being together, and
Well, stay safe
when you
run around.
Yes.
I don't know. Do you need some duct tape for your shoes? No, seriously.
That might be useful.
I also have some gaffer tape.
Yes.
We should maybe
tape that
because this is dangerous.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And I'm afraid I will totally lose the
No, we'll
soul.
Go upstairs and we'll tape that. And then you're off to Kulturbüro.
Exactly.
Okay? Hey,
Thank you so much for coming.
It
was a great pleasure. Thank you for having me. Yeah, high five.
Good luck with all your endeavors. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.